B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
This what y'all wanted for 98 miles? All right, man, you got it. Hey, well, listen, man, I'm only give y'all a little bit, you know what I mean? Check me out. Let me give off the 98.5. You could have done better behind the wise guy. Touch and rich will give you good sports, but your hip game suck and you ugly as f***. Touch it look like Al Bundy on crack, while Rich look like you been banged from the back. I got a new name for you, I bet you like that. It's the Lil Sloan Pack, can you imitate that? Ha ha, I bet you like that. Strip club on the way, wall dick, where you at? 898 miles, man. Y'all sure y'all want me to do this, man?
What about Tony Mack?
Let me get something straight. Tony, I heard you was gay.
Bertrand's next.
That can't be so. Mark Debuchin is the one that told me so. Ha ha.
Mike Felger.
On the pretty ass guy. I heard you was Tom Dick Jacket. Tell me now. Tell me now. Ha ha. I got a couple more people I could get, man. But you know what I mean? I'm going to leave it at this. I did this for y'all. All right?
Wall Dick, where you at?
Check me out.
On 98.5 of Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, 604 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Oh, how I miss Brandon Merriweather. Maybe we need to check back in with him once the season starts, once things get rolling. It's been a while.
Did I hit him up on Instagram recently.
Oh, you hit him up on Instagram?
Yeah, those Henny Wings, man. I had to respond. I saw those Henny Wings, and I'm like, how can we get these things in Boston, my man?
So okay, are these just like chicken wings cooked in Hennessy?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Why would you ruin a chicken wing by cooking it in Hennessy?
Because you can. That's why.
I mean, I don't know. I think you can get a good buck for that at a strip club.
I know, but it's wings with a Z, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so they're not technically chicken, or they're not technically a wing. It's like when they spell cheese with a Z. It's not technically cheese.
Correct.
That's the thing, is that I've had, you know, beer battered wings, and there's even been ones where, you know, whiskey wings and things like that. But Hennessy's disgusting, and I can't see how there's any in any universe how adding the taste of Hennessy to anything would make it taste better. I agree with people who say that sometimes I think Hennessy's just something that has this, like, you know, there's a lot of like rap songs like Hennessy and people love Hennessy, and I don't really think that those people have actually drank Hennessy before, because
yeah.
I don't know how you can possibly find that, how you can find that delicious in any way, shape, or form. It's disgusting, and it costs the same as stuff that tastes less.
So I drink a Hennessy I think it's something like back in the day, I used to drink a 40-ounce just to drink a 40-ounce, but I didn't like it. You know, I didn't want that.
Just to say you drank Hennessy,
yeah,
right?
Like, I didn't want,
yeah, of course.
Or like, I didn't want like that malt liquor, whatever it was, St. Ides. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know if you ever. If I drank two Stides, I call them Stides. If I had two Stides now, I'd be.
What's the other one? Courvoisier is the other one, correct?
But like, you know, the 40s, the Hennessy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're right. The rap song's got a Hennessy in my hands. Like, you know, yeah, they all rap about it.
But it's gross. Now, it's, you know, like, okay, now John, you were talking about Courvoisier. Yeah. I have never been lucky enough to be able to be in a situation where I had a fine Courvoisier. Whereas I have a weird feeling that John Wallach back.
Yeah. You know, jamming out the high five, yeah. Me on the beach, me and Winger Sheik hanging out at the high five.
And Winger Sheik, you know, wearing your pirate, your fluffy white pirate shirt from the 90s.
And the chicks came running.
I mean, dude, there's no. I guarantee you that you were somebody who actually regularly drank this.
Yeah, this is Silk.
Yeah.
No, Jonesy.
Jonesy. Yeah, it's Jonesy. Diary of a Mad Band. They're so mad. So, like, I mean, where, like, would you actually drink that? Because that's something that, because that's another thing.
I couldn't afford
that...
it. I couldn't afford it, one. But the other thing is I would never drink that. I can't do that. It's interesting. I had when we were, when I was on vacation, there was, after the kids went to bed, the grown-ups had some whiskey. And I just, I can't do it. I can't do it. I could barely do it when
a
I was young
turkey,
enough.
Man.
I can't do it. You know, I mean, it wasn't even whiskey either. It was like the whiskey with training wheels. It's like that peanut butter stuff. And oh, I can't do it.
Now, what is Courvoisier? I don't even know. Like, what kind of liquor is that?
It's cognac.
Oh, it is cognac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Cognac is fine. I'm not even that doesn't gross me out as much. See, whiskey's okay. Like, to me, I could I can drink. Matter of fact, the only way I'll drink whiskey now is just on ice. Like, that's like, if I'm gonna have whiskey, I'm gonna do that. I'm
you
not
like
gonna
Fireball?
Mix it with anything. No, God, see, you guys in your Fireball.
See, I can drink that peanut butter whiskey. Maybe again, this isn't real whiskey. This is whiskey like. Downgraded, not the straight stuff.
Love
but
Fireball.
I can barely handle that.
See, I actually understand why people like Fireball. You know, it's the cinnamon, right?
I mean, yes. it's hot cinnamon. Yes.
So what was? I'll tell you what was weird, Joe, is that when John and Fred and I we went up to Minneapolis, there was this culture that I didn't know about. That apparently up there, Fireball is the drink. It's the drink, the official drink of ice fishing. Like, I didn't get it until I went ice fishing myself. It was that one day that, you know, like every time, every Super Bowl week, there is one day where there aren't really any like press conferences there. It's like Wednesday. There's not a ton of celebrities coming by. So you essentially have what is an off day.
Well, real quick, Rich was so excited to go ice fishing. He's like,
oh, yeah,
I'm going ice fishing. And Fred and I said, have fun.
I've always wanted to do it. So what they did was before the Minneapolis thing, they sent out this deal and they said, hey, there's some excursions you can go on. And usually we're, you know, really busy. Like, I'm getting interviews like in the afternoon and during the day, and we're trying to line stuff up. But there was that one day, like Wednesday or Tuesday, I forget which one, where there was nothing going on. And I'm looking at this list and I'm like, all right, you know, they've got, and like, what are you going to do in Minneapolis in January? Like, it sounds like hell, or February, beginning of February. It sounds like a nightmare. It was like minus 40 or something walking over there with the wind chill. It was horrendous. But I saw ice fishing on this and I went, man, I have always wanted to do that. Like, and I'm not talking just like regular, you know, just I'm talking, I want to be on in the middle of a giant pond.
You want to saw a hole in there and get
No, the hole's already there.
Oh, it's already there.
The hole's already there. They give you your own shack and everything, right, Rich?
Yeah, so what happened was I get there, and it's weird because out of all of the press that was at like Super Bowl week, only six people went, and two of them were me and Jeremy Roenick. So like Jeremy Roenick and I were like fishing buddies for a day, but they took us to this crazy towny bar in the middle of and I think that there might have been four like towny representatives per person that were there. There were like 30 people like waiting there. Oh, the press is here. They're going to say good things about our town. And they came and they took us to this bar where they make these burgers and they jam cheese in the middle of it and they just get you all fat like all the other fat people. And so you like this, you just keep eating and like, oh, and it's so good, Joe. It's so good. If you haven't had a burger with cheese jammed and melted into the middle of it, Joe, oh my God, like you haven't lived. So I'm like thinking, man, I could live this amazing, like, you know, outskirts of Minneapolis towny lifestyle. This is amazing. And then they took us onto this lake, and like, I mean, it's kind of freaky because you're driving, and I know that up in like, you know, like New Hampshire and Vermont, there's lakes that are like this, but for some reason this seemed even like crazier because they took these giant trucks and drove it right out onto the ice, like into the middle of the pond. And the entire time you're hearing these cracks that are terrifying you. And you're thinking, am I going to just smash right through the middle of this and I'm going to drown? Nope. And there's those containers, these like, you know, like the back of the trucks, the big, you know, storage containers are sitting on the ice. And when you get inside, they would bring us in there and it looked like a palace on the inside. These people have totally like decked it out. So I'm sitting inside one of these containers with a bunch of townie people. It's like me, not Roenick, it's another person I was with, and like a dozen of these people straight out of the movie Fargo. And they had this deal where there's a hole in the ice, and if you caught a fish, they would pull it out. And if it was the right size, you'd put it in the bucket. They'd say, "Bucketeer! Hey, I got a bucketeer!" And then whenever you got one that was like in the bucket, they would hand out shots of Fireball. Now, granted, we caught about 4 fish in the first 10 minutes. Dude, that's 4 shots every 10 minutes. That's a shot every... That's like, I mean, every 2 minutes, you're essentially doing a shot. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And so I had to keep saying no because I had to drive back. So I had like one shot, and everyone after that, I had to say no. And it's Fireball all around, and everyone there is getting loaded. And I realized that's what ice fishing is. It has nothing to do with the fishing.
You know why?
It has to do with getting absolutely blasted so you can't see anymore.
You know why that is, Rich?
Why?
Because it's boring as hell.
It's cold.
It's the only way. It's the only way you can make that experience enjoyable. You had to drive out onto a prairie in Minnesota where the temperature was about 15 degrees below zero, and the main attraction of getting there was having a hamburger with cheese in the middle of it, and then you went out there to sit in a shack on the middle of a desolate lake in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by Fargo extras.
And
no, that wasn't boring at all.
And I loved it, and it was fascinating, and it was great because it was an excuse to just drink. And by the way, they're the nicest people on the planet. Like, I mean, so everyone. And by the way, every time you catch a fish, it was like, "Fish on! Oh, we got a bucketeer! Everybody drink!" And I'm like, "Oh my god!" And like by the time I left, this one dude who I had seen probably throw back at like 7 of these things was like, "I'll drive you back." I'm like, "Nah, I'm good, man. I'll just, you know, I'll go with Ann over here, who's been somewhat responsible." So, you know, you're with like a half drunk person riding in a gigantic truck on top of this thin ice, you know, and you know, you think your life's in danger, but that's part of the excitement. Oh, by the way, I'm being told that burger is famously from Minneapolis, only it's called the Juicy Lucy. Okay. And if that doesn't migrate somewhere to Boston, if there was a bar that could perfect that burger where they jam cheese. Matter of fact, Wallach, we went to a bowling alley that specialized in that burger.
It was so good, too.
It was good, but I remember I bit into it, and it actually, the cheese shot into my eye, and I thought I was going to lose sight.
None of that. You went to go to the bathroom. I remember.
Oh, dude, I honestly thought that I was going to go blind because a big glob of hot cheese shoots right directly into your eyeball. Dude, that can do some damage.
That's right. We went, there was an upstairs where there was kind of a restaurant area, and then, Joe, there was downstairs where there was kind of like a bar area next to five lanes.
Oh,
there were people who were bowling, and we're eating hamburgers.
Joe, you'd love it.
I'm looking at it right now. I would smash that thing.
Oh, it's great. And a matter of fact, that whole like lifestyle, I can tell. It's, there was a movie that came out. What was it? It was called like the 15-year engagement or something. It had like Siegel, the guy from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the one in How I Met Your Mother. But he was like Jason Siegel, and there's a part of it where he moves from California and goes to like Minneapolis and like gets like super comfortable with like this towny Minneapolis lifestyle. And I'm like, dude, I could be that guy. I loved it. We went to John, and I'll shut up. But John, you and me and Fred, we went to that like restaurant that specialized in walleye, that giant fish.
I remember that. Yeah,
and everything there is just like so filling and so like just breaded, and it was
wonderful.
Perfect.
It was wonderful. It was fantastic. I had no trouble sleeping the entire time I was there. It was
like
great.
They know how to compensate for 9 months of living in an icy hell up there. And it's just damn good food and a lot of liquor. And I loved it. And it was, I got to be honest, didn't mind it at all. Not one bit.
Well, you see, that's where you and I part company. I couldn't help being reminded. I mean, you want to real quick tell the story about how you and I tried to walk from the hotel to the Mall of America our first night there?
That was a nightmare.
It was about 500 yards away. We got halfway across this giant parking lot and realized, because the sun was down and the temperature was about 5 degrees below zero, that Rich and I had made a massive mistake.
Well, there was a day that it was minus 40 with the wind chill. It was minus 40 with the wind chill. So, I mean, it's just, you walk outside and everything inside of you just goes, F it. And I mean, like, you breathe out and your hairs in the nose, like, melt, and then you breathe in and they freeze and out, melt, freeze, melt, freeze.
Like Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but like that. But I mean, it's like you can feel your skin burning. It's so cold up there. But either way, we got to go to Prince's Paisley Park, and, you know, we saw the 7th Street entry where Purple Rain was filmed. So, in the end, it ended up being a fantastic
trip. Real quick, Rich, do you have a fascination with fishing?
You know what? I'm getting there, and I'm morphing into that guy. And now it's like all I want. This boy, this is such. I never thought I would be this person. Like, you know, the guy who wears the mesh hat. Work is for people who don't know how to fish. I'm kind of becoming that dude. Like, I just when I like my happy place, and maybe it's kind of like all the crazy pandemics, because it really is the ultimate like social distancing. You go out and you go fishing, and you just sit there, and you're in your happy spot. But I got to be honest, that's all I think about now. And this weekend, I actually. For the first time, I still haven't caught anything, but this weekend was the first time, like in a movie, I had an actual battle. Like I was pulling, like it took me maybe 3 full minutes of pulling on this fish, and it ended up stealing my deadly dick, which everyone told me to get, which is like this. The deadly lore. Dick is like a it's a minnow that it looks like a fake minnow, but it's got like 7 hooks on it, and apparently it's what brings in the big fish. And I was pulling for like 3 full minutes, and I couldn't get, and it was barely budging, and then next thing I know, it snaps, and my deadly dick was gone.
The one thing I know is a woman doesn't love anything more than a man holding a fish.
It's true. And I have the hat to prove it.
All right, Rich, I know we're way over, and we're going to break. I guess we'll break in a second. Rich, the second you are able to come back to society, you are going to forget about fishing.
No, I'm not. I think it's part of me now.
No, it's not. It is because of the way your life is at the moment, which is, you know, unfortunate.
You're living on an island.
The second you are able to come back to the mainland to stay, and I don't know when that is. I don't know how long it's going to be. You are going to forget about this portion of your life.
I find myself watching those fishing shows where they've got like an hour, and whoever can bring in the most fish wins. Those
Bassmasters.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bassmasters is the best.
I guess like, set you up with Charlie Moore one day, maybe. He can help you get some fish.
And the great thing is I haven't caught anything, so I don't know. It's pretty
scary. Oh, he's going to turn into a Gloucester fisherman.
Dude, I'm jealous of those guys.
No, he's not. The Perfect Storm was on last night. You would have loved the first half of that movie.
If this doesn't work out for me, this whole radio thing, I'm working at Gorton's.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna get the look at everything. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to everything that happened last night. Not very good with the Celtics, but we'll discuss that and more right after this.
The games are only half of it. Sure and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Did you catch a game last night?
Hey, 98.5, The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And unfortunately, you can't blame the refs for that one last night.
Who would have thought at the start of the year, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson backcourt without Miami in such great shape. They swing to an open. Kelly Olynyk is corner three. There's Miami, its largest lead up by 14.
Everybody was chasing Robinson at the time. Made it difficult.
Miami 11 of 25 from distance. Celtics 5 of 20. 66-52.
You got pantsed by Kelly Olynyk. Oh, just clomping up and down that court like an awkward-looking Clydesdale. I'm still waiting for just one game from a Boston team since the relaunch that I can feel good about. And last night, we didn't get it from the Boston Celtics. Heat win 111-106, and Joe Murray and I, unfortunately, we both lose our bet. And by the way, that's a bet that I felt confident taking. I didn't think it was going to be a bad thing.
Well, here's the deal. Long story short, if you're playing a team on a back-to-back without their all-star,
yep.
You should win that game, and that's why this is a bad loss. I mean, yeah. Brad Stevens got outcoached. Your bench looked like crap, like they normally have all season long, and they could not defend the 3-point line whatsoever.
They couldn't defend at all. Miami's I think in the top 5 in the NBA percentage. They depend on the three a lot.
Duncan Robinson's outstanding.
They depend on the three a lot. You know, you'd think Houston depends on the three a lot. Miami's right behind them. So, I mean, you knew going into that game that that's what they do. And the Celtics, how many open threes did Miami have?
I mean, it was...
They made all of them. So, I mean, and Celtics could make a shot. And every time they got close, you know, there would be some a dumb play or a dumb foul or a call that went against them. I mean, Marcus Smart fouled out in the third quarter. Tatum picked up his fifth foul early in the fourth. I mean, they couldn't keep their guys on the floor. It was a variety.
Tony Brothers was bad, and there was no wrangle.
No, but there was no excuse. Yep. Defending the three is what killed them, and you knew going into the game, especially without Butler there, they were going to depend on that.
Yeah, and for the most part, it's weird because, like, before the break, the Celtics defense was having a pretty good year, but since the relaunch, it's been nowhere to be found.
Dragic, left-hand dribble, coming strong on Tice, kick to the corner, Duncan Robinson for three, got it.
That didn't even look like it hit the net. Man.
And the Heat take a big step towards a big bubble win to keep that three seed alive.
You know, I heard our friend Chris Forsberg say last night that since the bubble started, Boston is the third worst defense in the league. I mean, they've been just giving up easy shots.
They're ranked 21st of 22 teams in the bubble right now.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, it was a game of catch-up the entire time. The Celtics played poorly in the first half. And when they're able to finally get in a rhythm, it was too late. And as you heard, I mean, it did help that Duncan Robinson was just left wide open for two threes at the end there. A kick in the nuts. Outside of the three-point shooting, which was definitely off, this wasn't really about scoring. The Celtics did fine there. I mean, Tatum got his 23, Jalen 18, Kemba and Hayward got 15 apiece. It was just about the defense and the lack thereof. And you're right, they can't defend the perimeter. And now they can, just they haven't since the relaunch. And you're right. It's not like they didn't know this team's game plan going into it. This is something that the Miami Heat has been known for.
And Rich, just to throw a few things out here, there was a stretch where the Celtics were making a comeback. And I don't want to blame the refs, but if you saw the Gordon Hayward offensive foul, that would have made it a one-point game. It completely changed the game. And again, I'm not blaming the refs. It's just that was a rally killer.
That was Kelly Olynyk running up to someone and falling down, which he did a few times and got the call every time. And Gordon Hayward picked up a technical, and I don't blame him. That guy doesn't lose it at all. That was a horrendous call.
It was like getting yelled at by W.B. Mason when you see him get pissed.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, there is one thing I'll say about the refs, and then once again, I'm not blaming them for the loss. But what they did to Jason Tatum, teeing him up at the end, was ridiculous because, you know, he was yelling at himself. He was pissed off at himself. And because there's no fans in the stand, like, everything you say is like amplified, so the refs hear everything. So he was just like swearing at himself because he was pissed that he had blown that play, yet they end up giving him a technical for that. Refs got to kind of calm down a little bit when it comes to just teeing up guys in this bubble, because it's going to seem like you're being more demonstrative and more louder than you actually are. It's just now you're hearing it because the crowd noise has been taken away from it, and Tatum absolutely should not have been called for that. But I mean, it was just a game of catch-up the entire time.
I just want to say one thing. I think Miami is a better team than the Celtics.
I disagree with that.
I think that they're a very good team. And you know what?
I disagree that they are a better team overall.
The Celtics have more talent.
If the Celtics play them in a seven-game series, I will take the Celtics over Miami.
Bam Adebayo, nobody could stop
him. I love him. He's great.
He's a free agent.
Well, the Celtics made the mistake of going small for a long period of time.
Yeah, Marcus and Brad Smart Stevens, on that. How'd that work out?
It didn't work
That's
out well
on
at
Brad
all.
Stevens. That's terrible coaching.
And you know what? And he stayed with it way too long. I agree. But in the end, I still think if the Celtics get their act together, which is certainly possible, and when Kemba Walker can play full minutes, which is going to happen once the playoffs start, they're going to be fine. And the other part of it is, A, I guess the Celtics over-under was 5.5.
Yeah.
Right?
In-game.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much out the window at this point. The other thing is their schedule, much easier now.
Yeah.
They got Brooklyn today. Kemba's not going to play, but they have Brooklyn today. That should be a win. Then they play Toronto, but the last three games, Orlando, who is now without Jonathan Isaac, Memphis,
and Washington, yeah, who didn't come here play with anyone to begin with.
You're right. They should win those final three
games.
They should
lock up the three seed. I mean, today's a pretty big game in that regard, but they should be able to lock up the three seed here, regardless of what happened last night.
Stevens was right. Once the ball got into the paint, they were just toast.
Beginning of the year, I thought we guarded with great intensity. We kept the ball out of the paint. Not doing as good of a job now at keeping the ball out of the paint. So we just got to figure out, if it gets down there, we're toast. So we got to keep it from getting down there.
It's funny, though, the one guy who was holding his own was Enes Kanter there at the beginning. Who would have thought that Enes Kanter versus Kelly Olynyk was the matchup that we all wanted to see?
They went away from him because they tried to shoot the three to stay in it, and it shot themselves out of the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you said, the Celtics now have a back-to-back, and Kemba's not going to be in there. And the good news, as you were mentioning, is that the Celtics have a decent chance of bouncing back tonight because they play the Nets, who stink. But the bad news is the Nets just somehow beat the Bucks. So
yeah, and they didn't play Giannis. I watched that game.
Middleton and Giannis didn't play the second half.
The Bucks had a chance. I was actually surprised the Nets won. But just one thing, did you notice just the difference between the two teams where the Heat can throw out Goran Dragic, Andre Iguodala, like all these guys? They can throw them out, but the Celtics are stuck with, and this is no slight on Shimi Ojeleye, it's just how many open looks did he have from three?
Well, there's a reason. The bench isn't good. The bench can't score.
Yes. It's a huge
The bench can't
problem.
Score. Now, Scalabrine said on the broadcast last night, the TV broadcast last night, he's not too concerned about the bench once you get to the playoffs because you're going to play eight guys total. But in the end, if you have an off-shooting night, which the Celtics did
last night.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find other guys who can step up and score. Miami does have Dragic, who is a good player, a borderline all-star player coming off the bench, and Duncan Robinson.
Tyler Herro off the bench. I hate Herro. I hate him, but he's good.
But I hate that idiot stuff he was wearing on draft night.
How do they have all these shooters and the Celtics can't find one? Like, it's upsetting that Shimi Ojeleye had, I'm going to look it up, but how many open
shooters? Ojeleye is a defensive player. He's not a shooter. There's a reason why he was open. Miami left him alone because they knew he would miss.
That's the guy. One of five, though. Yeah. Like, they need a shooter.
Hey, you know what? But they were cold. Listen, they have shooters. They were cold from three, especially for the first half. That's going to happen. But what can't happen are the defensive lapses that they had just leaving guys open at the three-point line. You're going to get cold. Every team does it. And the Celtics, that's one thing I'm not worried about. Their three-point shooting. Now, do I wish that they had a guy like, Duncan, that could just come in and Duncan Robinson and kill it? Do I wish they had an Eddie House? Yes. I wish they had a three-point specialist, a guy that could throw in there at any moment and get instant buckets. They don't have that. But I don't worry about that part of it. What we saw last night was inexcusable because you knew the game plan going in and they couldn't execute it. They just couldn't figure it out. And even the smart thing, I understood because Brad's one of these guys. It probably shouldn't have happened. But Brad's one of these guys that he's not going to let foul trouble dictate his rotations. And I thought that he thought things would play out, but it didn't. All right, so you took a chance. It didn't work. But that's still not even what I'm upset about. It's that their defense is nowhere to be found since they've relaunched the season. All right. Speaking of the team's not doing so hot, let's get to the Red Sox and everything that happened yesterday. And just and by the way, can we just all agree that you should just blow up the Trop? I mean, that place just sucks.
Barry Francona said while he was the manager, that damn building is made out of Tinker Toys.
I mean, just blow it up. It's inexcusable that that is somehow an acceptable arena to have any kind of sporting event in. All right. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Play the dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, we have a problem.
Okay.
We have a problem. You know, Joe and I, as we usually do during the breaks, we're just, you know, shooting the breeze. You know, we're just talking. And then, as you know, we have three TVs here in the studio. And the TV next to Joe puts up a graphic that says Kowloon Car Hop. And apparently they are showing the 1984 edition of The Karate Kid at the Car Hop. I didn't see what date it was. But the greatest thing about all of this is that it took Joe by complete surprise. And he had to immediately fire off a text to Andy Wong. How come you didn't tell me? That's exactly what happened.
The Karate Kid is a favorite of mine.
Uh-huh.
I don't want the invite. I probably won't go.
Oh, no, he's above the invite now.
No. I like the invite. Okay. It's just, they don't tell us, he doesn't tell anybody what movies they're showing until, like, it's like a surprise.
How could they, you're the inner, of inner circles, you are the inner, of well, the well, innerest of me, the inner circle. Guess, How do you not know this?
Who knows? I just texted him.
Of course you did.
But maybe there's another one coming up on Tuesday. I don't know about, you know, but like I just saw on television that the Car Hop has Karate Kid.
Right.
It opens at 7 and get your tickets now. Well, maybe maybe that's what he did. Maybe he did it on there to see who would call.
The guy's I know Andy Wong's your guy. All right. I know he's obviously a very nice man. But he's also a restaurant owner in a time where right now restaurants need as much money as they can get. You ever feel guilty taking a spot for a paying customer when you keep and continue to go up there?
I pay.
I mean,
maybe there's no free spot tonight,
sir. I pay.
Oh, you do. Okay. You pay.
Listen, there are times where we are taken care of, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But there are other times during a crisis that we pay.
So he's just offering you a guaranteed spot. You still have to pay for it.
There are times that happens. Yes.
Was Grease one of those times?
What's the percentage?
Was Rocky one of those times?
Rocky was not. I was invited to Rocky. Definitely.
No, you invited your bro to Rocky. You invited your bro to
Rocky. J.C. with a star. Movies out on the lawn. And a spread full of food paid for by Andy Wong. Chicken teriyaki combo meal.
Spare ribs.
And Mushu pork. Kowloon Joe and his Kowloon friends. Watching flicks. The party never ends. They're the kings of saugus. Hey, look, it's that John Cena's dad.
All right, so you will swear to me and swear on John Cena's father that you pay for your meals when you go to the Kowloon Car Hop.
I have, but I did not for Rocky.
What's the percentage?
Right.
How often? 20? 25? Less?
I don't know.
That's less.
Dude, you got to stop going, man.
I live around the corner. He's like my friend. The only time I get to hang out with the guy, he works 7 days a week.
Then do a better job hanging out with him. Let the guy make his money.
I am no free. Joe Murray, no freeloader. I am not a freeloader.
Unless you're at the Kowloon.
No, I am not a freeloader.
I see.
And you know what, Joe? I believe that. I think that it's a situation where, you know, you talk to Andy, he's like, yeah, come on down. And next thing you know, he's paying for it. I get it. He seems like that kind of guy. But maybe just to avoid that happening. I mean, the guy's got to make money. Just say, hey, I'm good tonight.
All right? Have you ever seen me tweet out, hey, go to the Kowloon tonight? You don't think I'm there to help?
No, I get it. I just, at one point, I mean, like, I look at these things, and, like, half the Kowloon crew is there, which is, like, 40 people. And I'm like, there's probably space for, what, 100 cars there?
There's
maybe,
50,
like, 100?
50 cars.
50 cars. Okay, yes. So that's, like, almost half of the cars there are the Kowloon crew. Yeah, and Andy probably feels obligated to hook you guys up. I mean, you know, these right now, restaurants need all the money they can get.
Yeah, but dude, maybe I'm not freeloading. I'm not freeloading.
So I know you're not asking, but is he giving you free food asking?
There are not.
Yes.
I wish you were here. He's so uncomfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable.
He's so uncomfortable.
I do pay for stuff at the Kowloon. I do.
When? Okay. Yeah, but not.
When? Listen, sometimes I walk in and I get the royal treatment, okay?
Yeah.
It's like Goodfellas, and I love it, okay?
And you know what, Joe? We all want to be treated that way when it's not a pandemic.
Just, oh, God.
It's the same. Okay, listen. It's the same way, Joe, that right now you're kind of a dick to use like a gift certificate. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, these restaurants.
Should I say when I'm invited now?
Do you tip?
Do I tip
on top of this?
They love me. When they see me, they know they're getting at least a C-note. Come on now.
Whoa. Hey now. Look
it's
at
like
you.
It's like this Joey C-note Murray.
A C-note. You see that, Rich? It's a C-note.
I'm telling you, Joe. And as I said, I don't think
should
it's
I not
you're
go
not,
anymore?
You're not,
should I not go anymore?
No, yeah, you should
just
have
to, just for on. A while. Just let because it's he's selling out these things. I know he is because people are looking for. It's a great idea. It is. But I mean, just he would never be. He'd be the last one to ever say, "Hey, dude, we got to make our money." Just kind of be, you know, do him a solid and go, "Hey, I'll get you the next time, or maybe the next time after the next time after the next time." Let him make some cash because every time the Calum crew shows up, that's another car full of people that he can't, you know, pay his employees. Just do him a solid. Do him a solid, man.
I'm telling Andy.
He's so uncomfortable.
I'm telling Andy.
I have to say this again because I haven't seen Joe this. Fidgety in a long time.
I don't goodness. Listen, Joe. As I said, I don't think it's you, but I think he's too nice of a guy, and he's going to continue to pay. And right now, he's probably listening to me, and he's high fiving the air, going, "Speak, preach, Rich, preach," because I can't do it. Andy, I'm looking out for you.
I get an invite, I go. It's more insulting if I decline the invite.
Are you going tonight?
No.
Hang on. Okay. That wasn't an invite. You just reached out to him because you heard.
No, I said, hell
tonight.
Yeah, Karate Kid. That's like a good. I don't.
That,
like, I'm
that
not going.
Isn't. That is you asking.
I am no.
That's you asking.
I'm not even going. No. I can't even go.
But you were expecting him to go, "Hey, I know." Oh, you're
I would.
The Karate
if
Kid?
He said
come
yes, I would have declined. No, hey, I'm having Rocky this week. You want to come? Invite. I said, all right, cool. And that's what I went. You guys are busting my balls hard today about this. I love the Kowloon. Everyone go to the Kowloon. It's my favorite restaurant. Buy Saugus wings. The Kowloon car hop is awesome.
They get enough advertising on this.
I know, swear to God. They don't pay for half the stuff they get here.
You guys think I'm freeloading. And that's
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I don't think you ever ask for it. I just think he's so nice. But I do think that you should read the room, and that is that restaurants are having a hard time, man, and he can't resist giving you free stuff. Let someone take the spot so he can make some money.
Okay.
And all you got to do is go, you know, and listen, as I said, this isn't a you thing. This is, man, maybe you just kind of figure out what's going on and help the dude out.
I think you're personally calling me out right now. You think that I'm being inconsiderate about the restaurant business.
That's not it at all.
What are you saying then?
I think that you might be unaware and it never occurred to you what's happening around there. That is not calling you out.
Oh, so you're telling me I'm ignorant? Is that what you're telling
me? Of this fact, yes. Of this fact, yes.
I am not ignorant whatsoever. I've tried. Dude, I have
people that work at Kowloon that don't get paid as much as they need to.
You mean to tell me that I haven't supported that business on social media? And said, hey,
social media is not his point. That's not his point.
You think I'm just, my hands out, give me free Saugus wings?
See, now we've gone from fidgety to angry.
No.
See, the best thing.
I've been called ignorant.
No, the best thing about all of this, Rich, is you're lobbing bombs from like 100 miles away. I got to sit in the studio with Bundy here. He's going to start breaking things. I don't need that in my life.
Get up from his seat? I don't think so.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Well, that's another thing. I'm at the Kowloon, but I'm just sitting there, right? I'm not looking for it. I'm just sitting there.
All right. Well,
I think we need to take a break to calm him down. I think that might be wise here.
I don't mind him.
Deep breath.
And I did not ask for an invite for Sunday. I said, hey, Andy, Karate Kid this weekend. Hell yeah, man. What can I do to help?
You didn't text him that last part.
Damn right I did.
You said, what can
I
do to help?
I know what I wrote.
That is an invite. All right. 617-779-0985. All right. We got to, you know what?
Neutral corner, Rich, please. Can we stop?
Rich called me ignorant.
No, I said ignorant to this fact.
You told me I'm inconsiderate.
Not ignorant. I think you're a very smart person.
You called me.
That's true. He did call you that.
You called me an inconsiderate bastard.
He did call you that, yes.
And then I'm there for a handout.
I did. You are tickets
to
your best.
Now I can't go to my favorite restaurant anymore.
Thanks a lot.
No, you can't.
Because I got to look out. I got to watch out for everybody else.
That's pretty much right. Yep.
In a pandemic.
Hang on.
Think of the next guy.
You're not looking out for everyone else. You're looking out for your best friend.
Yes.
Andy Wong.
I love him.
All right. I know you do. So do him a solid and stop taking free stuff during a pandemic. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And is it possible for the Red Sox to already be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs?
Fly ball struck to right deep. Racing back, Verdugo leaping and cannot get it. Perez on his way to third base as it bounces to the outfield. They're going to send him in. And here comes the throw home. The tag. He is safe. He got in there. Already, Christian Vasquez is looking for a review. Ruled save of the plate.
Yeah, I didn't think there was going to be a play there, but there was a close. That's a close play. He might have got him.
Oh, he's no, in. He got in there. Looked he's like he got there. The hand in there.
Yep. And when this team loses with Nate Eovaldi on the mound, well, you're not going to get better pitching than that. So the Sox have now lost four in a row. They fall to 3-8 and are already six games out of first place. 5-1, they lose to the Rays down in the crappiest stadium in American sports. And it's not like the Sox didn't have their chances. Bases were loaded, the tie awaiting in the ninth, and of course, in complete Red Sox fashion, back-to-back batters strike out looking. But let's talk about the Trop, shall we? Things seemed to be rolling for the Sox at one point. I mean, I have to be honest, it didn't look that bad. And then Joey Wendell...
They were up 1-0, Rich.
Yeah. Well, that's rolling in modern Red Sox world.
They were rolling in a homer and they were up 1-0.
How many leads have they had? Let's celebrate the things we can celebrate.
I don't know. Okay. We had a lead in every inning against the Yankees. I'm listening to Joey complaints over there.
I mean, the Celtics never had a lead against the Heat last night.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
I know, but still.
Nothing.
So last night, so Joey Wendell pops this ball up in foul territory. Raffle Devers, I mean, he gets right underneath it. But then the ball struck one of those stupid metal catwalks that they have over there at the Trop and just deflected it away. Now, that happened, by the way, with metal being that shouldn't even be there, that's a foul ball at that stadium. They consider that a foul ball. So, of course, because it's the Red Sox, Wendell gets a second chance, singles to left field. Hunter Renfro then blasts a two-run double because, of course, he does, and that's that. And then they really never looked back after that. Nate Eovaldi was asked about the fun of having a nice catwalk right in the middle of everything that could get right in the middle of your game, and here's what Mr. Eovaldi had to say.
You know, I saw it hit the catwalk plain as day, and you know, so I saw it start to come back, and you know, from what I remember, I thought it was a dead ball. So even if we caught it, the rules get all mixed up here. So, but yeah, it's definitely frustrating to say the least.
Worst stadium in American sports?
It's up there now. Well, no, it's not the worst stadium because Oakland, where the A's play, that's the worst stadium. Yeah, the Trop is made out of, as Terry Francona said when he was here, Tinker Toys. It's a horrible building. And Tampa, remember, before the pandemic hit, they were going to play half their home games in Montreal. That was the topic for discussion because no one goes to those games at all. But the other part of it is, Rich, all right, suppose the ball doesn't hit the catwalk and Devers catches the foul ball and the inning's over and the Red Sox lead 1-0. What are the odds they go win that game?
Oh, I mean, it's not good. I mean,
they would have lost anyway. The best part about it was after, because God bless the Celtics, the game started at 6:30, so it was over early enough. I caught the end of the Red Sox game, and they spent, I don't know, 10 minutes discussing that foul ball and the ground rules and how it was so costly. And no offense to Tom Caron and his crew on the post game, but it doesn't matter. I mean, stop me if you've heard this before. None of this matters. They would have blown the lead. They would have lost anyway. Andrew Benintendi still would have struck out with the bases loaded. And by the way, is there a hitter that's performing worse than Andrew Benintendi at the moment? And he is your leadoff hitter.
Does he care?
I don't know if he does or not, but I think he's put he's had 50 at-bats and he's put 18 balls in play. No, he had a mediocre year last year. He's just flat-out awful this year. Yeah. But in the end, none of this. They're 3-8. They're on pace to win 16 or 17 games, and that would give them the worst winning percentage in franchise history.
In Eovaldi, he got hosed on a strike three call. And if you listen to Eck I couldn't believe it. He was like, that's like one of the easiest strike three calls. And then, boom, it all fell apart from there.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, and who knows? Maybe if, you know, Devers was able to catch that ball. I mean, Evaldi looked good for a while, and maybe he was going to be able to go deep into the game. And I don't know if that completely, you know, how things just completely go in a different direction after
no,
one.
No, because then you bring in the bullpen, and they're awful, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's true. It's true. I mean, they're a bad team. But I love it when I love it when the Tropicana, because it happens like more times than you'd like to even admit, is that the Tropicana screws up games. It's just a bad, bad stadium, and it just seems musty, too, when you're in there. Just gross. But you're right. The A's is probably worse because they had sewage problems in the dugouts, which I thought was fantastic.
I've been to that ballpark. It's a dump. The only thing that saves it from not being the Trop is that it's outside.
Yep,
otherwise, it'd be equally as bad.
All right. No commercials, just the headlines with Joe Murray, and we have to pay tribute to a local legend when we get back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.